So the epistle for the Feast of the Holy Trinity is taken from Romans chapter 11. Well, the depth of the riches of wisdom and of the knowledge of God, how incomprehensible are his judgments and how unsearchable his ways. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him and recompense shall be made him? For of him and by him and in him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 28. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Going therefore, teach ye all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all days, even to the consummation of the world." Please be seated. Behold, I am with you all days. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So the Church teaches us today the great mystery of the Blessed Trinity. Certainly it is something that, to the human mind, we can't figure out how that there are three persons in just one God. Yet they are distinct, but equal to one another. Something that those that were preparing for confirmation, that they learn these different, doctrine of the Church. But yet for us to fully comprehend it, to understand it, we don't have that ability. And so in a way, then the Church, when it presents to us, it's not necessarily in the abstract manner, but it relates it to our spiritual life, the supernatural life that we have. In a sense, we can say the doctrine of the Christian life, the supernatural life. And that is the indwelling of the Trinity in our soul. The life conformed to, obviously then, the life of God. And that's something that we've talked about before, being in the state of grace, sanctifying grace. It is the life of God within you. And that is where something that, as I mentioned, obviously we can't fully comprehend the Trinity. It is a mystery to us. But it doesn't mean that we don't have to try to understand it to the best of our ability, of trying to learn more about the Trinity, of understanding of how then the life of God lives within our soul. And that is where even just we can see how sometimes things become routine for us. Making the sign of the cross, the doxology. But we need to pay attention to not only the external sign of that, of making the sign of the cross well. A lot of times people make it very, sloppy. But that we do make it with a reverence toward God is one of the things that is said of St. Bernadette, that she edified the people around her of how she made the sign of the cross. So it's not just the externals that we give, but it's also internally too. That when we have a true humility and understanding that this is in reference to God, when we say the Blessed Trinity in our prayers, when we make the sign of the cross, we are, realizing to whom we give this honor and adoration. And so there must be a humility that is there. There must be also a gratitude for what God has given to us. For our children or the adults that received confirmation yesterday, of receiving the gifts of the Holy Ghost to help them in their struggles in life, to help them to be a more perfect Christian. Yes, we have to have gratitude to God for that, of what he has given to us. These gifts are what will help us in our life. Just as His Excellency had mentioned, the gift of fortitude, counsel, these things that will help us to live a more perfect life, to live this life of God within our soul. And that is what we must be trying to do in our lives. And so, yes, our knowledge here on earth will be imperfect in terms of the Trinity, but even in a way, God willing, if we make it to heaven, it is not that we will have, a perfect understanding or be comprehensive of, the Holy Trinity. No. It is still a knowledge to us, but granted, we will have a more perfect knowledge of it, a greater knowledge of it in heaven, because we will have the beatific vision, and that is what we're striving for in this life. And so that is where then we understand that, and we try to live this life of God within us. And then externally, yes, we show that by our reverence to God, of coming into the church, of how we behave in the church, of how we carry ourselves. But then also to help others to see the profession of our faith that is seen by others around us, by our prayers, by the things that we don't say or don't listen to. So that is where then this opportunity for us is to give reverence to the Blessed Trinity today, helping us to see the importance of having the life of God within us. And so it gives us the opportunity to adore God, to love God, and to imitate God. So for the adoration, it is by one, obviously by our natural reason, knowing the existence of God, that God is our Creator. And then also we can say by revelation, the intimate life of God. It's a mystery, yes. It's above our reason, but it gives us this opportunity to show our adoration to God. Because yes, it is something that is above us. But again, just as we realize, we believe a supernatural mystery to be a truth because we have God's word for it. We firmly believe in it. We firmly believe in that truth that God has given to us, even if we cannot fully comprehend it. We don't understand it completely. So that gives us that opportunity to adore Almighty God, to show that to God, that adoration that is necessary. A perfect opportunity will be Corpus Christi. That's where we show the adoration to the body of Christ. We'll make our procession a means for us to give adoration to God. But understanding that idea and that sense, that we need to live our life in a true adoration to God. And a second means then is obviously to love God. The intimate life of God is revealed in the Trinity, this mystery of love. You can say that the Trinity is consummated in procession of the third person. So we refer to the Holy Ghost as, we can say, as love. We know that God is love. But it's something that completes the work of that is our sanctification, is what God wants. We've talked about that before, where it says, it's the work of God, our sanctification of our soul. And so therefore, we are meant to try to show this love to God. And how do we do that? Again, by our adoration, but then trying to live a life pleasing to God, of always keeping within us the life of God, that sanctifying grace that is given to us, at baptism and then with every sacrament we receive, added on, more grace that comes into our soul. The more grace that we have, the more pleasing that we are to God, the more that we are like God. Remembering that obviously sanctifying grace is the life of God within our soul. And so therefore, the more graces that we have, the more sanctifying grace we have that we built up in our soul, the more that we are like God. And so that's where then the final one is then the imitation of God. And that is the meaning of our supernatural life. The supernatural life is obviously above the natural level. So it raises us higher, brings us higher. Supra, so it makes us above, raises us higher. So therefore that we can be able to get to heaven. On a natural level, we'd never be able to reach heaven. It is only when we are raised above by the supernatural life, keeping the life of God within our soul, this indwelling of the Trinity within our soul. That's where we also talk about of how, the Trinity will abode in us, will come within our soul. So it's an opportunity for us just to try to conform to the life of God, and that is sanctifying grace. And that is where then, obviously, all of our actions, we should try to have a charity, that they're ruled, our actions are ruled by charity, a true love of God above all things, the love of our neighbor for the love of God, is what we're meant to strive for in this life. But that is something that we can try to see, the adoration we should have, the love for God, the imitation. It reminds us then of maybe teaching our children their first Holy Communion, to know, love, and serve God. And we can only love what we know. So it helps us to have that understanding of that. And so with this feast, this great feast of the Trinity, it is a means for us just to try to prove our love for God, to show that within our lives, in our daily activities, you know, as I mentioned, just even the simple making of the sign of the cross. It needs to be done out of a true adoration for God. And that is where all of our actions should be directed toward God in that way. So take the opportunity on this feast of the Holy Trinity to try to improve your faith, to try to help you to have a greater love for God. So it requires maybe us to study more, to learn more about our faith. But I would say also it brings us to understand that we need to pray, to have a deep spiritual life. And it's something that obviously we try to instruct the children in school. You parents try to raise your children with that. Trying to help them to see that, the need for a spiritual life, when temptation comes, okay, they can fall back on that. But it's something for all of us to consider. You know, all of us can improve our spiritual life, as I mentioned, by our prayer life, by, you know, our reading, our studying of our faith, so that we can truly know, love, and serve God. So let us also pray to Our Lady. Obviously, we know that Our Lady was the daughter of God the Father, the mother of God the Son, and the spouse of the Holy Ghost. All of her actions were shown with a great love for God, a great adoration of God, a great love for Him, and then living her life in imitation of the Holy Trinity. And so let us pray to Our Lady for that grace to help us to live that life, so that therefore that God will abode in us. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.